I'm Athol Duncan, Executive Director of ICAST. This is one of our career mentoring podcasts. Their aim is to help CAs learn from other CAs who have walked in their path before them. We have members in 100 countries around the world, and our international communities are growing rapidly. One of the big opportunities most CAs face is whether to go and work overseas. Two of our most senior international CAs are Ken Morrison, who's a senior partner with Mazars in Hong Kong, and Russell Leslie in Sydney, who worked for Macquarie before setting up his own wine and tourism business. Jane Ambrose began by asking Russell what prompted him to take up an international opportunity.
Well, I decided to go overseas really because I had qualified as a chartered accountant and there weren't many job opportunities in Scotland. Primarily, they were in Edinburgh or Aberdeen.
Right.
And neither of those places attracted me, having qualified in Edinburgh. So it was either London or overseas. And basically, I got approached, like a lot of my fellow students, by recruitment agencies who were particularly persuasive and well-organised.
And maybe from your own experience, but also from what you've seen of other people, what would you say are the sort of most common surprises or shocks in the culture of the working environment when people arrive in Sydney?
Well, the weather, probably. not many people are used to the heat. Depending on the time of year that people come here, it can get very hot in the summer. The one thing I do remember is the rain. When it rains in Sydney, it rains. So the climate is something that, even coming from a rainy place like Scotland, you do, or the UK, you do need to get used to, but you soon get acclimatized. The other thing is just how big the place is. Even by London standards, Sydney is a very, very expansive city. It's, we don't have many high-rise buildings in Sydney, and people are surprised that it can take you over 2 hours to go from one side of the city to the other.
Obviously, it's quite a big step to move to a new country for anyone considering that. What sort of support network could a CA expect if they find themselves in Sydney working?
There is a very strong expatriate network, either through university contacts or the big accounting firms. I mean, most people that come out that are newly qualified have got some association with their alma mater, their accounting firm, and there is a well-established formal and as well as informal network of newly qualified chartered accountants when they come out here. So settling in with friendships and a network is in Sydney is not a problem. That's not one of the hurdles that you need to overcome.
Now, you said spent quite a substantial amount of time overseas yourself, Russell, but I realise that for quite a few CAs maybe considering a move abroad, they may only be thinking about doing that for maybe 2 or 3 years, say. There's evidence that graduate recruiters regard global experience very positively. Would you say, does that extend to the CA brand? You know, do UK employers regard time overseas quite positively?
Oh, I would think any employer in 2014 would regard overseas experience highly, if not essential. We're in a global economy, and anybody who can have on their CV that they've worked overseas, it's far more important today than it was when I came out to Australia. Even for 6 months, it would be highly regarded, I would say.
And, you know, you've obviously forged a very successful career for yourself overseas, but I'm guessing that over the years you've seen, you know, quite a number of CAs that have come over and perhaps not been so successful or found it such an enjoyable experience. And I just wondered if you felt there was any sort of common denominator there that, you know, maybe sort of led to a lack of success for people who come overseas?
Well, look, a lot of success relates to timing and luck, I would say, and certainly in Australia, not just Sydney, but the other cities of Australia, chartered accountants coming out tends to follow the ups and downs of the world economy. So a lot of people that have come out here and, you know, if you want to define their return home back to the UK as, you know, a failure, it may be related to, you know, homesickness, family issues, that type of thing. I haven't come across too many people that have come to Australia that have that you'd categorise as having failed. There's usually a personal dimension or an economic dimension. I mean, anybody, for example, who comes out and they get made redundant or, you know, there isn't a job opportunity for them, well, they're going to be looking for where they can get employment, and if that means that they have to leave, then I wouldn't necessarily regard that as a failure either. But I don't know too many people that have come out and it just hasn't worked.
Ken, do you think there's a particular time in your careers the right time to move overseas, or what do you think?
I guess it depends on where and where you're going. I think that coming to Hong Kong when I came, which was in the mid-70s, it was a terrific time for young people coming out because it was just an exciting economy. China was beginning to open up. There was a new companies ordinance or companies law, which had just been published, which was very similar to the UK. And so coming out with that sort of value added that of experience in how financial statements should be reported and the disclosure, this was helpful. So having a value added is a real plus, I think, when you're coming out, particularly to a professional firm. Nowadays, for a young person coming out, if they don't have that value added, one of the challenges they may find is language. Because Hong Kong has become much more integrated with China. And so not having the Chinese language skills could be a challenge. And so unless you were coming to a large firm which had specialties in, say, banking and insurance, for which English is the norm, I think it could be quite challenging, and that would be a factor. So coming out now, I would say that it would probably be better to have a few more years of experience under your belt so you come out as an experienced, say, manager, and you really do have something to offer.
Any particular tips that either of you would have for a CEO who's currently considering moving overseas to work?
Well, I think one of the things, just a quick one, one of the things I would say is that it can be more challenging, and I do appreciate that this is a generalization, it can be more challenging for an individual to come with his spouse. It can be certainly more expensive, certainly for the employer and indeed for the individual in terms of accommodation and just the living expenses. And flexibility in terms of how you focus on settling in through the transition. Being single can have its advantages because you are more flexible. You are able to focus more carefully on just the task at hand, which is getting to know people, getting to grips with the job and the new environment, and sometimes the cultural shock. And so I think these are real factors in favor of coming out, as it were, single and flexible. On the other hand, for a spouse coming out, it can sometimes be difficult for them just to find friends because they're not familiar, they're not working in something initially, perhaps. And just, you know, that sense of homesickness and separateness can be a bit of a challenge. But the good news is that there's Skype and travel costs are pretty reasonable generally. So it is possible to stay in touch with home. But I would say that one of the tips I would have is get to know some people, particularly maybe those that have come from, say, Scotland or your home country, that you can, get to know and trust, and people that can show you the lie of the land and share from their experience. And so having one or two friends that you really can confide with and confide in is important.
Well, that sounds like excellent advice. Anything else you would like to add? I know that your time is short.
Well, I would say, it's the great thing about coming overseas is it's a change. And that's an education in itself. And I think if you've got an open mind, a sense of adventure, willing to step out of your comfort zone, keen to experience a new culture, discover that, what's different and what's the same, learn new things. And also, I think, having a sense of commitment and perseverance, because it may not fall into place, on day one or even day 100 or even day 365. But if you are committed and persevere, generally speaking, the people out here give you a fair chance. And, if you work at it, you may well find that it's really successful and a terrific adventure.
That's great. Thank you very much. So it sounds like a very positive experience, regarded positively by employers in terms of gaining global experience.
I think it also helps. Just one quick one. I think it helps if you do sports, because
okay.
That helps you to get to know people outside the broad and exciting field of accounting, and gives you an opportunity of getting to know people in other walks of life, which I think is good.
The number one tip that I would say to anybody considering a move to Sydney is that they really need to do their homework on the visa situation. But it's not as simple as it used to be to get to just decide, right, I'm going to go to Australia, I'm going to go to Sydney. The visa requirements are much, much stricter than they used to be. And fundamentally, the number one requirement is if you plan to come to work in Australia, you really need to have a job in place before you arrive. And that does mean that you've got to do a bit of homework beforehand. Now, it used to be in the good old days, I suppose, when I came out, my visa was permanent residency. So in a sense, I was one of the lucky ones that had basically a choice to stay if I wanted, whereas these days it's more likely that somebody will come out with a two-year visa or a three-year visa, and then they have to apply for permanent residency after they've been here.
So really you should have the job lined up before you can apply for the visa, is that correct?
That's right, and that's not exceptionally hard to do, but it just means that you need to do a bit of planning beforehand, do a bit of research, and then I guess your expectations are more in line with reality, whatever your expectations were, because you've been forced to do a bit of homework on what you expect to find when you get there. And Sydney is an expensive place to live in, so you certainly need to have your finances in order. So you can't really expect to arrive off a plane in Sydney and not have a place to live and an income. You wouldn't survive long in Sydney. It's easily as expensive as London to live in, and a lot more people would say more expensive. In terms of obstacles, I would concur with Ken in Hong Kong that you really need to have some understanding or involvement in sport in Australia. The country, sport is part of the culture here, and it's certainly an icebreaker to settling in and meeting people and integrating in the local community, but they take the sport very seriously in Australia, even as spectators. That's something that might be a bit of a shock to some people, how much sport is both on the television and in the newspapers, and how it actually weaves its way into political life as well. Quite remarkable.
So it sounds as if lots of homework and preparation to do up first, really, to have a job lined up. make sure your finances are in place and accommodation as well. And an interest in sport, which is an interesting point to make. I think that's very, very useful advice from you.
And now, unlike when I arrived in the 80s, you know, we do have this ICAST committee in Sydney and Melbourne and Perth. So there is an opportunity, and of course we have email. Email wasn't around when I came out. So the opportunity for somebody to use initiative and reach out to existing CAs in Sydney and Melbourne, etc., is there. And, you know, if somebody did send an email to me or anybody on my committee, they would definitely, you know, get a candid response, whatever the question, nature of the question was. I mean, the one thing we're not for, just to clear up any misconception or misunderstanding, the community in Sydney and Melbourne and Perth, we're not job agencies. So if somebody is contacting us because they want our help to find a job, that's not something we can really do. We can give them a bit of help on, you know, what it's like here, what the community's like, you know, rent, suburbs, that type of thing. But specific employment help is a bit hard.
Uh-huh. So not a recruitment agency.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, well, listen, Russell, thank you so much for your advice. Lots of interesting points raised there. It's been interesting for me to speak to you, and I think, you know, some of the points you've raised will be very, very helpful. Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye just now.
Thank you.
If you're interested in participating in the ICAST Career Mentoring Programme, either as a mentor or as a mentee, please go to the homepage of the ICAST website and click the mentoring button. Look out for other recordings when we'll be discussing becoming a finance director and moving from FD to a CEO or MD role. We hope you'll enjoy listening to these.